Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you're out there across America, why, we'd love to hear from you at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because we have with us one of my very, very special friends, and I hope one of your special guests, Joan Vian. Hi, Joan. How are you doing?
Fine, Dr. Stan. How are you today?
I'm just fine, thanks. How's the weather back there?
Well, it's beautiful. It's California-like.
Oh, really?
If you're having sun, it's California-like.
We're having sun. It's been a very warm a summer day here, one of the first real days of summer we've had. And the children are down playing in the pool, not our children, but our friends' children. And anyway, I don't have time to do that. I can just watch them while I'm doing my work. But tell us now, what are you evaluating now? Of course, for those of you who don't know Joan goes to all the international meetings put on by the State of the World Forum and the United Nations and Gorbachev and these various United Nations conferences where they plan our future for whether you want to admit it or not. There are evil and wicked people who would destroy America as we've known it and simply replace our system of government with an authoritarian system under a new ruling elite, a new international ruling elite. So what's the latest thing, Joan?
Well, as you know, Dr. Stan, when I'm not covering conferences, I'm an investment advisor. I manage money. And I also write an economic newsletter in that regard. As a result of covering the World Economic Forum, the Bank for International Settlements, the G7, G8 meetings, etc., my understanding has become deeper as I have been able to connect more dots behind the scenes in order to help not only my clients, but others manage money.
All right. What's going on today?
I have been very interested in Enron. Not specifically all the dirty deals of Enron, because that's deceit, deception, distortion. And Enron was not doing anything that nobody else was doing, because they're all doing it. So the question arose in my mind, why Enron? Because Ken Lay is a darling. He is in the inner circle. So what is going on behind Enron? My latest economic newsletter talks about that. It's entitled, The Completion of the Final Thrust, Changing the Law to Create Stock Market Crashes. And that's exactly what I see happening in all of the things that are going to, quote-unquote, fix Enron. It's absolutely amazing, Dr. Stan, the whole scenario that's being played out here. Most people are familiar with what happened with the NASDAQ. Depending on when people invested in any of the internet stocks, depends on whether or not they're crying, hurting, or laughing at this day, today. But what the government is doing in order to fix Enron will create more NASDAQs and more Enrons. And that's what is so scary. Now, let me give you some background history, not you, because you know a lot, but for your listeners, let's take a look at some background history and what it really means. Most people feel that government is there to protect them. And as a result of the 1929 stock market crash, the government looked at, they did a couple different studies, and they concluded that they needed to pass two different laws to protect you and I. One was passed in 1933. It was called the Glass-Steagall Act, and I'll explain that in a minute. The second one was passed in 1934, and it was called the Security Exchange Act. Now, the Glass-Steagall Act basically separated the functions which banks had had previous to the crash. And at that time, the banks in the United States were able to not only have savings deposits and make mortgages, but they also had the ability to bring stocks and bonds to market. In other words, to syndicate and bring stocks and bonds to the public where then people could buy them on the stock exchange. And they also offered credit to do that. So when the stock market crash occurred and the government did this report, they concluded that what they needed to do was to divide the activities of the bank so that you had the commercial bank, which made loans and deposits, like our local banks, most of them. And then you had investment banks like Merrill Lynch and Prudential Base and whoever else is out there, Solomon Smith Barney. And they would bring stocks to market, and then they would have people, their brokers, who would go to their clients where they could sell the stock. So that is what the Glass-Steagall Act did. Now, when I started covering the Bank for International Settlements and started reading some of their documents about 5-7 years ago, they started talking about something called financial conglomerates. Well, financial conglomerates are exactly what our government said you shouldn't have. Every country outside of the U.S., with the exception of the United States, allows their banks to not only make deposits, but then syndicate stocks and bring stocks and bonds to market. So in 1999, after a great deal of flurry and flutter and discussion about how old and antiquated and outdated that law was, it was repealed. And we have seen a rash of buyouts, mergers, acquisitions from not only American banks, but also from foreign banks, insurance companies, and brokerage firms buying out American bank stocks and insurance companies. So we are in the process of becoming financial conglomerates from an international standpoint, and our doors are wide open for foreign banks and insurance companies to buy our mutual funds and our stock brokerage houses. So we're going back to the pre-1929 market-style crash circumstances as a result of Congress repealing the Glass-Steagall Act in 1999.
All right, fine. Well, our guest is Joan Viana. We're going to be back with Joan here in just a minute as we begin to explore what's happening financially throughout the world and certainly right here in the United States. We'll be back in just a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we want to mention some of the items we have here which we think that you should give serious consideration to get them. One of them is if you have children or grandchildren in government schools, they have in all probability been taught to read by the look-say method, and this is why they have difficulty reading and spelling and pronouncing words. And, of course, the Phonopoly set, and it is really a series of 5 board games plus 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. And within about 16 to 20 hours of playing this game, which plays just like Monopoly with all sorts of, get hotels and you get houses on the property. It's played like Monopoly, but you will actually teach children how to sound out words. And in 16 to 20 hours, if you follow the simple directions, and really most of them are on an audio tape that you just listen to, why you can reprogram the mind of children so that they will be able to use phonics in their approach to reading and spelling and pronouncing. Phonicsopoly is available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Most of these programs are $300 or $400. This one is $139.95. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then I want to mention we're handling the Miracle 2 soap products. And all I can do is tell you we have an awful lot of people who have used the Miracle 2 soap products, and they feel that they're very, very beneficial. It's excellent soap. I've used it now for, the better part of a year, and I'm very, very happy with it. Doesn't leave any residue at all. It's great for softening the skin. But I think the most important thing is that you'll find that I'm not going to make any medical claims at all. Let me just say that give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get some Miracle 2 soap products or get more information about them, an awful lot of people are having repeat orders. An awful lot of people enjoy it. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest this afternoon, Joan Vian from the Women's Group, and Joan is talking about what's happening financially to America. America was once the greatest nation in the world financially, and every nation in the world owed us money. Well, that is no longer the case. Today, we are the greatest debtor nation in the world. Every year, we're running a $360 to $380 billion deficit. And every single day, with about $1 billion a day deficit, that money is coming back in here, and China and Japan and Germany and England are buying up our corporations. And of course, when they do show a profit, those profits don't stay here in the United States. They go back to the parent countries. And the same thing is, of course, our government is doing everything they can to drive our industry out of this country. They're actually subsidizing companies that move their industrial base to Mexico or communist China. We have given the United States and Western Europe the equivalent of $384 billion to communist China to develop their industry. And of course, American industry will soon simply be a remembrance of things past. So with that as the background, Joan, why don't you pick up the story?
Well, as you say, we have been very great, but what we're going to be seeing with the restructuring of our governmental system as a result of Enron, that we are being opened up, as I mentioned earlier, for more Enrons and more NASDAQs. As a result of Enron, and I don't think I have to explain Enron, they're trying to say that there were a multitude of errors performed and committed by Enron, and I'm not going to talk about the limited partnerships, the off-balance sheet items, or their bad accounting, or the fact that they hiked up the energy prices in California.
You're not going to talk about the $684 million bonuses they gave to the executives there as the stock was falling either, are you?
No.
Okay,
go ahead. I'm not going to talk about any of those things. The bottom line is our government now says, oh my, in order to fix Enron, since all of these things failed, the SEC wasn't doing their job, they hadn't audited Enron in 10 years, nobody was looking. On top of that, we have the American Accounting Organization, it's called the FASB. They have issued different rules and regulations that basically have, if you will, facilitated some of the situations with Enron. And so now they're saying, oh, look, the auditors failed, the accountants failed, we don't have the right accounting rules, we don't have the right organization, government's not doing it, so this is what we need to do. And that's what I want to discuss.
All right, fine. And I bet it's going to be a lot more regulation that's going to involve you and I taking away our freedom while the people at Enron, most of them will get away scot-free.
Well, I'm sure in the end, Dr. Stan, you know, I mean, they're going to get away scot-free because they're being used, quote-unquote, temporarily as an example of all these naughty, naughty things. So what is the solution? My senator, Paul Sarbanes, who is the head of the Senate Banking Committee, he also, by the way, is a Rhodes Scholar, has written legislation. It is in committee currently. They're trying to get it out of committee ASAP. And the bottom line is the law that he is looking to get passed will set up a private foundation in London, England, where most of the international bankers will have an impact or participation in. The current chairman of the board is Paul Volcker, if that tells you anything. And so,
Why don't you tell our listeners who Paul Volcker was? Because most of them don't remember when he was the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, a longtime employee and tied into the Chase Manhattan Bank and the Rockefeller interest.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's exactly who Paul Volcker is. And he was the globe-trotting central banker who, after President Nixon took America off the gold standard, went around the world talking to other foreign countries about how they were going to fix the world monetary system. He is a central banker. That should tell you everything. He managed the monetary system of the United States, not Congress. Therefore, he had, just like Alan Greenspan has today, a whole lot more power than even the President of the United States, because they have the ability to cripple the monetary system to create busts and booms. So Paul Volcker now is the chairman of the board of directors for this private foundation that has been set up in London, in which they now are going to shift accounting principles from American accounting rules to international accounting rules. This really has nothing specifically to do with Enron. What it has to do with the fact is that all the barriers are down. We now have multinational and transnational corporations that run the world, and as such, they have to be dictated by international accounting principles, which are all brand new rules, instead of American accounting principles, because look at Enron, they don't work. So what do we have here? We have a major shift. It will rewrite the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. It will replace the oversight of Congress and the Securities and Exchange Commission with other independent outside boards that are, so far, set up as private foundations run by the same international bankers who control the monetary system of the world. This is a very, very major, not only structural shift, but philosophical shift.
Now, let me just point out that the Council on Foreign Relations was the American branch of a secret society created by Cecil John Rhodes. And, of course, Paul Volcker belongs to the Council on Foreign Relations, as has all but, I think, two of the chairmen of the Federal Reserve Board going back to the 19th period of 1913. And then, of course, we have your senator writing the legislation. He's a Rhodes Scholar. But the Rhodes Scholars and the Council on Foreign Relations overlap. In fact, if you read the books put out by the Rhodes Scholarship, they will tell you that when these young men return to the United States from Oxford, they usually go to join the Council on Foreign Relations. So here you begin to see this network of power, of this elite who have a dream of creating this new world order and a new world religion.
Absolutely. So here we have the final thrust, the completion of the final thrust to knock out any congressional oversight to our financial system by substituting Congress with this private foundation.
Headed by Paul Volcker.
Headed by Paul Volcker, that's right. And so what does that mean for individuals? Well, you know, the Securities and Exchange Commission was there to protect you and I against Enrons. Now we have absolutely no protection. The bottom line is it opens the door. It opens up the chicken coop. The doors of the chicken coop are now open wide to the same foxes who have been looking to steal to begin with.
Well, now we will have the wolf watching the fox who's watching the chicken coop.
That's right. That's right. The wolf is now going to watch the foxes.
Right. All right, fine. Well, now, of course, the average American doesn't understand that. He looks at Enron and maybe had some Enron stock or Global Crossing at Tyco, or didn't matter what he had. If he got sucked into this sucker stock market, this greatest run-up, really, of modern times, why then he saw his money disappearing. And you begin to get very defensive. You get very angry when they steal your money in the stock market. You don't understand that there wasn't any money there to begin with. It was all simply paper entries. And if you were smart enough to get out at the top, why, that's a wonderful way to be. An awful lot of people are still waiting for Enron and Tyco and Global Crossing stock to come back again.
Absolutely. And I have news for them. It'll come back when the Antarctic really really melts.
Right.
So, you know, what this says is that the structure of our government, again, is changing. This is more change. It's a more integration into a world governmental system, whereby we're really looking at not only a global accounting system to accompany transnational corporations, but we're now looking at a global stock exchange. We're looking at, in the future, a global currency. And, of course, Joan Peros and I both reported on the Monterey conference that has discussed global taxation.
In other words, a world government. And, you know, there's some people out there, Joan, when they say, well, look, what's wrong with a world government? If there's a world government, we're going to run it. And won't that be a good world government? How do you respond to them?
Well, I ask them if they've ever read the United Nations Charter, and if they know the difference between the United Nations Charter and the U.S. Constitution. And the differences include that under the United States Constitution, our rights are inalienable. That means that they can't be numbered. They can't be taken away for politically incorrect thinking or actions. And that they are unlimited. Whereas in the UN Constitution, you only have a certain number of freedoms and they can be taken away.
All right, we'll be right back in just a moment with Joan Fionn. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that we have some other items that we certainly hope that you'll want to get. And we're actually carrying a new educational program now for homeschoolers. It is put together by my good friend, Dr. Art Robinson, who is the scientist who got some 17,000 other scientists to sign a petition saying that human activity played no part in global warming. And certainly Dr. Anderson is very well thought of Art Robinson is very well thought of within the scientific community. But he has put together a homeschool program, which he used with his 7 children, to take your child from grammar school, actually from kindergarten all the way through high school. All the textbooks are there except for the mathematics textbooks, and this is $199.95. You'll get with this a complete set of the 1911 British Encyclopedia Britannica, and you get the Noah Webster Dictionary. This is all on computers, but the books, the Huckleberry Finn books and the McGuffey's readers and all the other textbooks, even the tests that you'll give the children on the books are all there. And we think it's a great system. We hope many of you will want to get it. If you'd be interested in getting more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send you a packet to tell you what it's all about. It's 21 or 22 computer discs. Fascinating, fascinating information that you'll want to have, and give your child a wonderful opportunity for an education. And if you love your children, get them out of government schools. And then, of course, we hope many of you will change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. The number is 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. It's a Christian long-distance carrier. We're happy with it, and we're sure you will be as well. Please call Promise Vision today. Another of our fascinating 4 tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's 4 interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and those of you who would like more information on the concentration camps, that's, of course, what a lot of this Office of Homeland Security is, $37 or $38 billion, and they're going to be building, detention camps in case of civil unrest, in case of a terrorist attack, or, all they need is an excuse to pick up people who are opposing this move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion, and of course they've specifically targeted Christians. And if you think it can't happen in America, you don't understand anything about history, we have a great 4-tape set. You'll actually hear a great deal of information on those concentration camps, and we also, of course, have a concentration camp special, which is 4 tape sets, couple of tape sets, sets of videos, and actually 3 videos called The Amazing Clips and another video. And we even give you some of the documents talking about the concentration camps. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are evil and wicked people. And, of course, what happened in Hitler's Germany was simply a trial run on what is intended to happen here in America. Remember, you can get the concentration camp 4-tape set or the special at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, with us this afternoon is Joan Vian of the Women's Group. And Joan, I want, before we go on, for you to give out your telephone number and your website so people will know how to get in touch with you.
My website is womensgroup.org, W-O-M-E-N-S-G-R-O-U-P, womensgroup.org. And for people who are interested in subscribing to my economic newsletter, that phone number is 301-371-0541, 301-371-0541. And if they have any money in the market, if they are looking to protect money, I highly recommend the newsletter. Information like this is invaluable.
All right, fine. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to call in, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We're here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Joan, should people be in the stock market at the present time?
Yes.
Okay, fine. What should they be in? What sort of
thing?
Well,
I'm not giving that out, Dr. Stan. If they want to know, they can call me and we'll talk investment.
What about gold and silver stocks as a whole?
Well, absolutely. And that's the conclusion that my newsletter came to. Not that I haven't concluded it before. That's not the point. But you see, it's sort of like at every turn, you learn something more about, like, first aid, you know? You get a burn, you realize you need certain, and I don't even know what you need, but you need certain medicines for a burn, you know, so you keep them. For people who've scoffed at gold and silver, I think when they start understanding the new structural changes, that they will see how important it is. Why has it been scoffed at? Well, it's very interesting because let me just give you this example, and I'm sure you're aware of this. Al-Qaeda, one of the reasons why our government has not been able to track Al-Qaeda's money is because they shifted into untraceable commodities, including gold and diamonds, before the September 11th attack. And so, you know, when you start taking a look at what's going on here, we have the big boys, the international bankers, who want to know where every penny is, where every investment, where every asset is in the world. And they can control for a certain period of time the price of gold and silver. But there are some things they can't control.
We've heard that people like Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway has gone very heavily into silver. Is there any truth to that?
I don't know. I've heard the same thing.
All right.
I've heard the same thing. But we have had, as you know, a run-up in the price of gold and gold stocks. Very interestingly, when I was looking to put a few things together, I get a couple different newsletters, and, excuse me.
All right. Well, of course, Joan puts out her own newsletter as well, and, of course, you want to find out about that. That's 301-371-0541. That's 301-371-0541. Are you there, Joan?
I am. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I get several newsletters, and one of them is from my the national it's through one of the financial planning groups I'm a member of. And when they went to list all of the investments and how well they had done this year, they did not have gold or silver stocks listed. They listed all of the other assets, allocations, like, you know, growth and high tech and biotech, et cetera, but they didn't have gold and silver stocks listed. Why?
Why?
Well, gold and silver stocks have gone up. Actually, let me just address gold stocks. At their peak, right before this small little correction, if you want to call it a correction in the gold market, gold stocks were up almost 70%. Now they're up about 55%. And so why would you want everybody to know that gold is up? So they suppress it. They poo-poo it.
Well, I would cancel that financial advisory letter.
Well, you know, it's quote-unquote free with paying my dues. You
I
know?
See.
Most of the time I trash it, but I was just curious to see what, you know, investments they said were good. And then I don't subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, but I bought a Wall Street Journal, and I wanted to look on their investment page to see which areas, if they had listed gold stocks. No, they don't list gold stocks either. You have growth, you have income, you have bonds, you have biotech, you have all of the other asset allocations, but there's no precious metals. I thought that was very interesting. So we see that there has been a concerted effort, and of course you know this, Dr. Spann, to poo-poo gold. And as we see with Al-Qaeda, one of the reasons is that they can't control or they can't track or monitor everybody who has it.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, in difficult times down through the ages, this has maintained its value. With other things, of course, have become worthless.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, when we start taking a look at what is going on in government, it's absolutely no surprise to me that they would be looking to shift now the accounting, the auditing, oversight to this private foundation, and then later on the Security and Exchange Commission will basically become null and void, as I think Harvey Pitt today was going to announce, or no, wait, tomorrow that is, he's going to announce his plan for, again, creating an oversight board, and I can tell you it's going to be a private corporation or a private foundation just like this other one.
All right, fine. Well, we are moving very, very rapidly, almost hell-bent towards this one-world government, aren't we?
Well, absolutely. You know, it's very interesting. I'm sure you will agree that we have been into a Star Wars attack, if you will. There are so many things that are going on at one time, whether they're coming from the universities or the private foundations, whether they are coming from the United Nations or other major global think tanks, or the IMF, the World Bank, the Bank for International Settlements. I mean, we are just being inundated with change at every turn, with the unexpected, with volatility. And I think all of this speaks to the need for us to really get close to God, to stay close to Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, and to find out, you know, because God has ways of helping those who trust in Him to avoid serious mistakes.
Amen to that.
I think, too, that that's very, very important in this day and hour.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, we can make all the preparations we want to, but if the Lord isn't looking after us, we are not going to survive what lies ahead. We've got Dave calling in from Illinois. Hi, Dave. A question or comment?
Good evening. Good afternoon, gentlemen. A question from beyond there. This change you're talking about that's taking place thanks to Congress in answer to the Enron problem, what's the net result going to be for America's economy?
All right. What do you think that the impact of this change and shifting the function of SEC to a private corporation or a private foundation in Europe run by Paul Volcker? What impact is that going to have, if any, on our economy?
Well, on our economy in the long run, it's going to have a severe impact because, you see, if, as Dr. Stan put it, the wolf is now going to watch the foxes, okay, guard the chicken coop whose doors, which door has been opened, then what that means is that there's going to be more Enrons, there's going to be more play in the system, if you will, okay, because you see government is being taken out at every turn. You know, they're being replaced by these private, quote-unquote, individual boards. So we're not, you know, government is not going to be there to protect us. We will have very little recourse in the future. Government might pick up the tab like they're going to do, well, I think they're going to do, with the Enron employees' retirement plans. But the bottom line is it will be a weakening of our system over time. Because, you see, quote, unquote, nobody's looking.
All right. So I think we're in for some difficult... Would you say that we're in for some difficult times? Would that be a fair answer for Dave?
Yes.
All right. Anything else, Dave?
Yeah, one comment here. Sounds to me that this is just one obvious step towards a new world order. It's also, I say, along the same path, this, Ms. Fiona, would you agree this is a step towards further global corporate fascism?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And we don't like to hear that term, you know, global fascism or corporate socialism, because after all, aren't we capitalists? I believe in the free enterprise system. I don't believe in capitalism, because capitalism is monopoly, and monopoly leads to fascism. Anything else, Dave?
Thanks a lot, guys.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, Dave, I would also recommend that you read my book, The United Nations Global Straitjacket.
I would recommend that, too, since we carry that book, The United Nations Global Straitjacket, and The Sustainable Prince. I think two of the best books that we have, both written by our good friend Joan Vian.
Anyway,
and of course, the exceptional point in that book is the fact that you go into the report from Iron Mountain and explain it better than anybody else does. And the significance of this government think tank that was formed in the mid-1960s to figure out how they were going to be able to control the people if we didn't have any wars. Well, they figured that they had a better solution. We'll just create a war against terrorism. But And that was, of course, 35 years ago, 30 years ago anyway.
Well, now we're in perpetual war.
Perpetual war for perpetual peace. We've got Richard calling from Miami. Richard, we got time for you to ask your question, and then we'll have to answer it when we get back from the break. What's the question?
I want Joan to explain again a public-private partnership.
All right, fine.
Good for you, Richard. I'll do that after the break.
All right, fine. Thanks so much, Richard. You just hang on there.
Okay.
And, of course, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We're dependent upon you. We believe in what we're doing for your help. And so if you'd like to, of course, join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, it's as simple as picking up your telephone and calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month, but really as much as you can afford, while you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter. But the important thing is you're helping us do what we do, and we have an opportunity to reach out. In fact, things look like we're going to go ahead and actually have our new Saturday program, and it'll be syndicated hopefully across America. And people are going to hear for the first time a talk show that's going to tell them the truth. We're not going to lash out at people as some of the well-paid talk show hosts do, anybody who talks about the idea of a world government or that there is an organized effort to move us into a world government. We're going to tell the people the truth, and that is that there are spiritual forces moving us towards the coming government of the Antichrist, because that's really what this is all about, this perpetual spiritual battle that's always been fought. And we have an opportunity now with your help to reach out across America. There's another network out there with 17 stations we could get on if we had the funding. And if you believe in what we're doing and you'd like to become part of our team, give us a call. And if you could make a commitment for 6 months, so much a month, so we know how much will be coming in, or even a one-time bequest, a one-time gift, we'll appreciate it because it will help us move in the direction we're moving. How much time do we still have to reach people? Remember, once, of course, the dictatorship is established, once all power has been taken to Washington, D.C., we're not going to have the opportunity to speak out. Is that what you're going to become involved? If you're not going to become involved, now when, and if not you, who? Is freedom worth fighting for, sacrificing for? Well, I fight, but I fight on the radio 5 hours every day and sometimes many hours on other people's programs. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR because we are at war today. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan, we have Waco Rules of Engagement. We have Waco, A New Revelation, which is a fascinating video. It's the second in the series of videos put out by Mike McNulty. And there you'll hear interviews with people who talk to the Delta Force, the professional killers from the military who were sent in violation of the Posse Comitatus laws to kill the Davidians. And you'll actually hear them telling how the Delta Force bragged about killing the Davidians. I bet you didn't hear about that from Barbara Walters, Dan Rather, or Rush Limbaugh, did you? Well, you need to get that video, Rules of Engagement, and, of course, the New Revelation, and then the third in the series, the Flare video. All of these are available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if they could get away with killing the Davidians, who out there really is safe today? We've never got the truth, what really happened there, and everything has been done to cover up the truth, exactly as they cover up the truth about the bombing of the Oklahoma City building, about the downing of TWA 800, and certainly about what happened on September 11th. Well, we have on the line with us Richard from Miami, and Richard asked the question to explain what public-private partnerships are. Would you like to get into that, Joan? Joan, are you there?
Richard. Sorry.
Joan?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I had my mute on.
Okay, go ahead.
That'll do it every time. Richard, public-private partnership is something that I pieced together after covering the United Nations Conference on Habitat 2 in Istanbul in 1996. And before that time, the United Nations had never used a phrase called public-private partnership. They had talked about how business and government and civil society, whoever civil society was, would have to get together and they'd have to work together. But they never even explained it. And it wasn't until I went to Istanbul and started reading their document, which was just loaded with the term public-private partnership, that I started to understand that there was something bigger to this. And so I did several interviews. One was at the International Monetary Fund with a woman to help me understand. It was such a difficult concept. But when I finally put it together, it was a piece of cake. You have three words, public-private partnership. The word partnership is a business arrangement. You have sole proprietor, partnership, and corporation. In a partnership, you can have as many partners as you want, more than one. That's why it's called a partnership. You can layer partnerships. You know, you don't have to just have one. You can have a whole bunch of different partnerships all affiliated in some way with the main partnership. So it has the most flexibility and the most give, if you will. So it's a partnership between who? Public and private actors. Who are the public actors? The public actors are all levels of government, local, county, state, federal, foreign, and international. The United Nations considers themselves international government. So all of those, or some of those, can be a partner in this partnership. And then we have the private. Who is the private partner? The private partner is the non-governmental organization, and I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that most of the major NGOs, whether they are for abortion or for the environment or whatever, they are all, most of them are funded by multinational corporations. So we have the NGOs who really are the foot soldiers doing all the dirty work of the other partners. And then the other public partners can be, or private partners can be, multinational corporations, foundations, lobby groups, whoever. So we have government and business coming together for partnership or for profit.
And that's just what they did in Benito Mussolini's Italy and Hitler's Germany.
Yes, that is correct. And it was very interesting, Richard. When I went to Al Gore's first global conference on reinventing government in 1997, I believe it was, I was absolutely shocked because Al Gore did not call us citizens anymore. We were no longer citizens. We were customers. They have completely changed our position and what we are.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to say there, Joan?
Well, public-private partnerships are being set up all over the country and all over the world. And really what you have is, if I can go as far back to John D. Rockefeller, who was terribly rich, so why can't the corporations rule the world? And that's really what a public-private partnership is. It is a corporate buyout of government.
Amen to that. Anything else, Richard?
It's sort of like another name for a monopoly?
Sure, and then basically what we see is that corporations fund both the Democrats and the Republicans. And as I pointed out during the last hour, Bill Clinton last year received $9.25 million for giving speeches. Do you honestly believe his speeches are that good? No, he's simply being paid off for his betrayal of the American people when he was in the presidency. But it didn't start with Bill Clinton. This has been going on through successive administrations, both Republican and Democrat. They always pay the president off very well for letting the corporations fleece the American treasury of our funds. Anything, we're going to have to run. We've got Mike on the line. Thanks so much, Richard. And let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Incidentally, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. How are you doing, Mike?
All right, Stan. I just want to make a small contribution to further the understanding of public-private partnership.
Okay.
I believe one core item to understanding it here in the United States is Executive Order 12803, written by George Bush, April 30th, 1992. He basically puts the United States up for sale with this, or up for the highest bid at auction, as directed by the director of the Office of Management and Budget. Infrastructure assets, which go up for sale, means any asset financed in whole or in part by the federal government, including roads, tunnels, bridges, electricity supply, mass transit, rail, transportation, airports, ports, waterways, water supply, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on, every level of government, right down to the local school district and the Indian tribal reservation. Whatever has to do with federal is up for sale under this executive order.
Okay.
Would you do me a favor and fax me that?
I've emailed it to you twice in the past.
You emailed? Well, I probably have it.
I'll do it again.
Come on.
Yeah.
I get a lot of stuff here. I probably have it, but I would appreciate it if you'd email it to me again then. Thank you.
You even thanked me last time. I'll do it again.
Okay, fine. Thanks so much, Mike.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And
bye.
I think we have to understand that we have people in government whose loyalty is not to the American people, but it's to the highest bidder, we might say. George Herbert Walker Bush gave one speech after he left the presidency, and he was paid off in stock. And for that one talk, when that stock, of course, took a run-up, this was an initial offering, apparently, he got $14 million. Now, that's pretty good for an hour speech. That's how the world really works. I wish it weren't that way. I wish we had people who were idealistic, who believed in America, who were there as public servants. not, of course, to simply further their own financial position, and, of course, work towards the New World Order and the New World Government. And those people who embrace this idea of world government are ordinarily very well rewarded by people of great wealth and, of course, by the people who control the wealth of the world. So, Joan, what are your thoughts? What message do you want to leave with our listeners today?
We're in deep doo-doo. Truly, Dr. Stan, I appreciate all your work. I know how difficult it is because, you know, there are times when I want to give up. Nobody pays me to go to these meetings. Nobody pays me to do any of the things that I do. So I, too, have a ministry. It's a different ministry. But, you know, if we don't say anything, our bones will cry out, won't it? Won't they?
Amen to that. So anyway, we appreciate everything you do, and Joan, of course, goes to many of these meetings, and you're going to be down in Johannesburg there in August and September?
Yeah, but I'll be at a couple meetings before then. I go next week to Canada for the Group of Eight meeting.
Well, I hope you'll give us a call, let us know what happens, and if there's anything exciting, we want to get you on our programs because we want our listeners to be on the cutting edge of what's going on and understanding we're heading towards a financial Armageddon. And it's about time people begin to understand that, and the fact that behind the financial battle and the certainly the physical battle and the cultural and ideological battle is that spiritual battle which has always been there since the beginning of time. God bless you for everything you've done.
Well,
do, Joan.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was Joan Vian. I hope you enjoyed it. And I think it's really very interesting that now, of course, we're going to see transferring of control over the American investments and stock market to an international organization. But you have to understand that's what this is really all about, an international court, an international tax, a world army, and that's, of course, what NATO is. Why do we have NATO? It was formed to counter the Russians, and now Russians are part of NATO. Why don't we just do away with NATO? Why? Because it is the United Nations Army. But we don't want to tell the American people that. And then, of course, we're moving towards a world parliament and all the things that go along with a world government. Well, this is the time, of course, we certainly want to encourage you to pray for America, to pray for our leaders, to pray for our ministers, because they should be leading this truly spiritual fight. We ask you to think about how we can get America to turn back to God, with a realization that if America doesn't turn back to God, then God will turn his back on this nation. There is no incidence in all history where a nation has gone into moral decline, where that nation has not been destroyed, with horrible, horrible consequences. And so we ask you, of course, to very seriously consider praying for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, my wife, my family, and, of course, pray for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.